wedding, communion, service that we're going to all participate in tonight. Because Kenny Ray and Patty are going to get married tonight right here in this church. Amen? Amen and amen and amen. What a joyful occasion. And so we're just going to get right into the service, and then we're going to take communion together. And Kenny and Patty will take their first communion together as husband and wife here. And it's going to be just a beautiful, 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 beautiful time. So after Kelly, Pastor Kelly comes up here, and you guys say your vows, I'd like if you would, if you'd sit right over here. And we're going to serve you communion and then serve the whole congregation communion. We're celebrating with you guys. And we certainly know and love both of you very much. You know, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22 says this. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. And there's some key elements in there in that verse. First of all, the wife, I mean, really, in biblical courtship, the man goes out and searches for the woman, not the other way around, number one. And number two, the Bible says this here, what God has joined together, what God put together, the marriages that God put together, let no man separate. I believe in my heart, as I have been their pastors, and Jeremy and Kelly are present, that God has joined you together, Patty. I want you to know that, and Kenny. In other words, I believe in Kenny and Patty. How many in here believe in Kenny and Patty? Amen. Amen. We believe in them. So I believe that extreme favor is going to come on your life. Good things are going to happen by getting married. And let's just go to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. I'm going to read this one verse here, and I want you to see it with me where the word says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him, a helpmate, someone to enjoy life with, someone to share your life with. Many times, I'm not saying all the time, but many times the most intimate relationship, closest relationship that a man and a woman can have on this earth is the husband and wife relationship. And that's where when they're together, they kind of let their hair down, and they can share their best secrets and be their best to one another. So I want to say that most of the time, now the Bible does make a way for people, it's not for everybody, but most people, it's just better if they have a partner to share life with. But some people don't, the Bible also says that there are some people that don't have that desire, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God saw that it would just be better if Adam had a wife. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from him made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And he brought in verses 19 and 20, he brought all the animals to Adam and had him name them all. And whatever Adam called them, that's what they were called. And now he brings this precious, precious bestest. And I'll bet you Adam was thinking it was okay naming them animals, but this is a lot better. Amen? And And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman, and he brought that woman unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And this was a very sovereign, touching moment. And Adam was moved when he saw his wife. And therefore, the word of God says in verse 24, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. To leave the mother and father, forsaking all others, you've heard that expression so many times, and cleave to his wife. That word cleave in the Hebrew brings out this tone, that the husband and wife should be in a perpetual, continual a state of dating. And that word means to catch by pursuit continually, to enjoy life, to enjoy the wife of your youth, to enjoy your husband. Amen? Yeah. Now, I've used these verses for going on 40 years. This is an outline that I've used forever and ever. And these next verses are very important in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading at verse 9. And you follow there with me, please. And I want you to, I'm going to explain this in just a moment. The word says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. See if they'll work together. Husbands and wives are to work together, to not strive with each other, not have a home full of strife, but a home full of teamwork where they work together. For if one falls, the other one will lift up his husband or wife. But woe unto that person who is alone when they fall, because he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat and sometimes babies. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him and two withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let me say something very important here. Marriage was created by God. It just didn't come by accident. It was created, and the purposes and the sanctions of marriage have power if they're understood and acted upon. So the idea here in verse 12 where it says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. One of the most ancient ropes is a three-strand braid, and it's very powerful. And the idea here that we're talking about tonight is it's not just Kenny and Patty. It's God and Kenny and Patty. And if you put God in your marriage, it's going to fulfill its purpose. Your marriage will be served. But if we don't, that's just the horse of a different color. That's a problem. We believe better of Kenny and Patty. So when you add God and you include God in your marriage, that's the way marriage works. It's just like if somebody said this, well, here's a rope. It's got two strands. Well, that's not the way a true rope works. It has three strands. And God is above all, and he brings, tonight he's bringing Kenny and Patty to himself. And if we'll include God in our marriage, God will bless and bless and bless. This August the 10th at 2 p.m. California time, Millie and I will celebrate 47 years of marriage. Amen. And now, for me to tell you that that's always easy is not. And I'm going to say something here and give you something to think about. Marriage is a good thing. The word says it is. But it's not more than making you happy. Marriage is to make you holy. Because as you interact with your wife, with your husband, if you'll learn how to interact biblically, that we're going to talk about lastly in just a moment, you're going to be blessed. Because the most important thing here is Jesus, God says this in the New Testament, be ye holy even as I am holy. And marriage, if you work it, it's like recovery. You got to work it. Will make you holy. And it will make you have a peace that passes understanding and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. But it's not necessarily easy. The longevity of a marriage for a lifetime. I believe in marriage for a lifetime. And I also believe in this, that God, his heart is so big. For those of you that are not married now that want to be married, the next marriage that you're married, he wants you to be married for a lifetime. These are the last days. The most terrible, horrific things are happening in the world today. Things that are just catastrophic. But enough about that. And Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says those words, and they stand true. I want to read from Ephesians chapter 5 about what God is expecting from a husband, what the husband's part is in a marriage. And as we understand this, we will grow by it, especially if we put it into practice. And I know Patty and Kenny, they will remember that to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Because if you just hear the word and you don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. That's what the Bible says. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, here's what the word says to Kenny, to all husbands. It says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loves the church, and he gave himself for the church. And the husband is to give himself for his wife. That's the truth of marriage. See, now, once again, we work at this. Some days we do better. Some days we don't do as good. But we get back on track, and we realize that our true north is the word on any subject, and the Bible is full of word on marriage. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. In Jesus' name, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle, any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And the husband, scripturally, is the covering for the wife. And he's supposed to be the protector and the provider and the giver. And then in verse 28, it says this here, very important. So ought men to love their wives even as they love their own bodies, and he that loves his wife loves himself. Now, love is not holding your mouth a certain way. That's what you used to say when I was a plumber and a pipe fitter. You're not holding your mouth right. Love is a deliberate set of intelligent parts. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is agreeable. Love doesn't hold grudges. And we can go on and on. That's in Corinthians chapter 13. So that is the husband's part, to love his wife like he loves himself, and to provide for his wife, and to lead his wife into the things of God. That's a real husband's job. Now, let's talk about the wives, and Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. And this isn't politically correct now. There's a lot of goofy things now that are not in the Bible that won't work. They just won't work. But it says here, wives, submit to your husbands as unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife in the same manner that Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Of course, husbands have to be those kind of men. I see a lot of frowns on the ladies, but I mean, it's hard to follow somebody that's not following Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. So this is where people like Kelly and me, Jeremy, we're the counseling part of the ministry, and all these gray hairs, my hair was beautiful, long, chocolate brown, and then I got into the ministry. It's just got grayer and grayer and grayer. But to sum all of this up here, and Kenny Ray and Patty, as soon as Kelly comes up, come on up. And I'm going to read one more verse. Ephesians 5 and 33 says this, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as he loves himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, well, I don't want to have that kind of marriage. Well, this is America. Obviously, you can do whatever you want here. But it sure is easy to see what works and what doesn't work. Amen. God bless you guys. Kenny, Patty, come up here.
James up here.